Welcome to Backfence Unhinged, a conversational all-you-can-eat sushi buffet, but in storytelling form, to leisurely enjoy along with the middle of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear an unhinged story about golf carts, being a teenager, and bass fishing from Chris Williams. Then comes the second unhinged part. We'll ask some questions about Chris's story and share a story or two of our own based on what we hear. Who are we, Andrew?
I'm Andrew Dixon.
I'm Frayne Masters. Wow, it's so good to be here.
How are you, Frayne?
I'm good. I'm full of allergies and happy to be here.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet?
No, I have not. But I've been to other all-you-can-eat buffets.
Like just the general variety or any specific?
There used to be this one in Seattle that my friends and I would go to. And one of our friends, Jay, would really like take it to the hilt. So much so that, like, when we get outside, he'd sometimes toss his cookies, all of them. It was like a challenge for him.
Yeah.
He's one of those people that never gains weight. Like, he could just eat and eat and eat. And, like, never, there's no change to his body whatsoever.
Yeah. Speaking of challenges, if you want to go down a little internet wormhole, in China, they made the McDonald's salad bar one visit. So there is a whole art to salad stacking in order to get.
What?
My kids were obsessed with it for a while. You can get, like 13 inches of salad if you're using architecture to kind of build.
Oh, I like this. It's like the Jenga of the salad world.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I have been to a sushi all-you-can-eat buffet, and you know what they do?
What?
They just put the most incredible rice and noodle entrees up front so that you're like, oh, that looks good. And then so by the time you get to the actual sushi, you're like, oh, damn, I'm out of room.
Yeah, you're full of noodles and rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anyone's thinking of opening one, that's the trick.
Yeah. Great. Hot tips from Andrew on opening an all-you-can-eat sushi
bar.
It's
very in vogue after the pandemic.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, man. We have such a great guest today.
We sure do.
Chris Williams is a storyteller, improviser, and the executive director and host of Front Porch Sessions, a Portland, Oregon-based show that blends storytelling and audience discussion. He's also our first returning guest to the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, what an honor.
How do you feel about that, Chris?
It feels really good.
We have a trophy for you afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I love
trophies. Oddly, it's a California roll. Brass. It's covered in brass.
It all comes back around.
We weren't sure how you do, if you're a fish guy or not. So,
well,
imitation craft.
Find out. We're going to find out how much of a fish guy Chris is, I think, today. What's your buffet situation? What's your buffet experience, Chris?
I didn't grow up like that in the world of buffets. I'm sorry.
Wow, you had a buffet-free childhood?
My mom is a germ person.
Oh,
understood.
The sneeze guard wasn't doing it.
Yeah, she just would say that it's nasty. And it's true, I've been to a buffet because I played college football, so that's where we would eat when we traveled. But if you really observe and watch what people do, it's gross.
It is gross.
They pick things up and they put it back. They put things on their plate and they put it back. And you don't know if that's their second or third time. It is a
free for all. Yeah. It's a petri dish.
Yeah.
That's what's served. Well, one of the dishes served there is a petri dish. Right.
Probably.
So this is entertainment. Also a little bit of a PSA.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a reason why on cruises, people always get sick. Aren't cruise lines just nothing but it's a giant floating buffet in the ocean? It's gross.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, salad bars though. Are you no?
I love salad. I can get my own salad.
Yeah. No bar required. I do. I eat at salad bars all the time though.
Interesting.
I like them a lot.
Have you ever had a salad in China?
No, but I had a salad in Korea.
Was it good?
It was delicious.
Noted.
I like it. So, all right. Korean salads are on my bucket list now. I'm going to go there. Chris, you said, we're going to find out about your story.
Yes.
Why don't we, let's dig in.
Let's dig in.
Let's dig into that story.
Okay.
How about it?
Okay. My favorite place in Michigan, in the state of Michigan, is this tiny area around a lake called Blue Lake. Not very original. So it's called Blue Lake, and it's what we call in Michigan up north.
Okay.
Which can be confusing because it's not in the Upper Peninsula. It's just up north of the Mitten. So my friend, he was my best friend, and his brothers owned a cabin. Well, they didn't own the cabin. Their parents obviously owned the cabin. But
I wish they owned it. I wish they owned that and the Mitten.
Baseball card money.
Sorry. So their family owned this cabin. And in the summers, I would get to go up there. And I would stay up there for probably 3 weeks. Like, I loved it that much.
Wow.
And I loved to fish. And their cabin is right on the lake. And not only is their cabin on the lake, their grandparents' cabin is right next door to their cabin. It was just the best way to grow up. So we would go to this lake, we would get on their pontoon, and we would go out to this bay. It was called Turtle Bay, and that's where the best fish were. So we would always fish. So throughout the years, they became friends with this family. They were called the Fox family, and the Fox family had money. The Fox family was rich.
How could they not? Their name is the Fox family.
Uh-huh.
They own a den.
They stole it. They stole all that money.
Yeah. And I just remember Mr. Fox had this beer belly. He always wore shorts, never a shirt. And he just had this tan. He called it a tan. I would just say he was red. He was just red all summer. And you have to remember, this is, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, right? So times were a little different back then. And Mr. Fox just took a liking to me, like, right away. I do not believe that he had ever talked to a black person before me. But he just took this liking to me, and I felt like it was really genuine. So whenever I was up there, regardless of if the Fox family was there, they would let us fish at their private pond.
Ooh, private.
So the Foxes had a private pond. It was probably 2 miles from where my friend's cabin was. So they would kind of get excited when I would come up there because
access.
They would have access. It was strange thinking about it now. I'm talking about it as an adult. That's a strange thing.
You can't fish here. Chris is here. You can fish here.
That's literally how it was. So Mr. Fox's property was amazing. There was this hill. The Foxes had this hill on their property. And down the hill is the pond, which was just stocked with so many, like, bluegill and bass and perch and all these different fish. But up on the hill was the house. So we would hang out there, and then we would all go down to the pond fishing. But Mr. Fox had these golf carts, and some were new and some were old. And he would let us play with the old one. Again, it's the 80s. It's the 80s and the 90s.
What could go wrong?
So he would let us play with the old golf cart.
Just the words "play with a golf cart" are so 90s.
Yeah.
Like, where's your child at 10 p.m.? Is he playing with the golf cart?
So we loved it. We just had the best time. And we invented a game with the old golf cart. And the game was, we get to the edge of the hill, which was pretty steep. We would have the key in, but the golf cart wouldn't be on. We would put the golf cart in neutral. And there'd be at least three of us. And we would push it down the hill. But here's the thing. The game was, like Indiana Jones, I guess, you would run down the hill along the side of the golf cart, which is moving.
Right.
Which is fast. Moving down the hill. And while doing that, your friends would be humming the thing song. Dun, 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 dun. And you would jump into the cart, and your goal is basically to stop the cart before it went into the pond, wow. Which is wild.
High risk.
Before you destroyed, basically, the golf cart.
Yeah.
The old golf cart.
And when you got in, the steering, unless you turned it on, the steering really didn't work that much. So you couldn't really turn. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, yes.
If something got in your way, you're not turning.
I understand.
Okay. We didn't really name this game. I just, in my head, it's called Indiana Jones. So, one summer, I'm there. We're a little older. Mr. Fox isn't there. The family's not there. And the older brother, Matt, was like, let's go to the Fox Pond. I want to go fishing. So we all get our rods. We go to the Fox Pond. And we're fishing down there. And after a while, like, three of us get bored. Matt, the older brother, stays and he's fishing. Because the thing about this pond is it was stocked with fish, right? But the legend is that there's a giant fish in this pond.
No.
And that fish is a large, large mouth bass. Like, so big that apparently people said they've seen it eat ducks.
Oh, my God.
What? Like,
yeah.
This fish has eaten a duck in lore?
This is legend.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow. It's
the Loch Ness Monster of bass.
Yeah.
Mrs. Fox swears that, because they had a cat that went missing.
No.
Mrs. Fox swears that the cat's, like, in the pond in that fish's belly, obviously, right?
Wow.
So...
All of a sudden, this turned into Big Fish. This story is so great.
So the thing is,
the family's name is the Foxes too. I can't get over this.
So this pond was pretty sizable. It wasn't a lake, but if you're thinking small pond, it's not small pond. It's a pretty big pond. And every once in a while fishing, there would be something in there that you could tell was strong. That rod would bend, and you would try to get it in, but it just never worked. The bait just cut off or whatever. So, personally, we'd never seen the fish, but it felt like the fish was in there. I didn't even like to swim in that pond, if I'm being honest.
Because of the
Because of, and what's it going to do to me now, thinking about it? But it was just scary knowing that something that big could be in that pond.
Well, Big Mouth is in its name.
Yeah. sure. So, I'm there for a summer. We go to the Fox Pond, fishing, get bored. Some of us go back up. Let's play that game.
Yeah.
Awesome. We get out the golf cart. We set it up.
The old one.
The old one. It has to be the old one. Matt has remained down at the pond, the older brother. He's still fishing. His goal is like he wants this fish. He's feeling like it's his day. We're not paying attention to him anymore. We get the golf cart ready. We set up. We get it to the edge of the hill. It's me. It's my turn. I get to run along the golf cart. I'm excited. So we do our little count. We look at each other because safety first. Make sure. Right? Make sure we're going to do this. And we start rolling. And it's a good one. It's just a good one for some reason. It starts picking up speed pretty fast.
The sun kind of glinting.
So I'm running and I'm realizing like, oh, I've never had to run this fast to get to the cart. Usually it's more play running.
Yeah.
And so I'm hearing the music, but I'm realizing that, oh, everybody's running faster. So it's more like, dun, 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 dun. So I'm like, oh, no. So I'm catching up to the cart, and then I look down the hill. I don't know why we didn't do that before we let go of the cart. And it's in line for Matt. It's the cart Matt who's fishing are lined up. And everything kind of slows down.
And he's just like on the edge of the river
or he's on a dock? He's on the edge of the pond. He's on the edge of the pond and he has a really good spot and he's just fishing. I'm like, I got to save Matt's life now. Because that cart is going to hit him. That's what it looks like. As I'm running and I leap into the cart. Dun, 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 dun. I don't even hear the music anymore. I look and I'm trying to get the key. It's not turning. I'm trying to turn. That wheel is kind of locked. And then I look and I see Matt is struggling. I'm like, what's Matt struggling with? Matt has a fish on the line.
Ooh.
So I'm watching this. I can see he's struggling. He's not paying any attention. So he's locked in. Matt is a fisherman. Matt is locked in. He has fish on the line.
And this is that slow part.
Yeah. So I'm like trying to turn. I can't. I'm trying to then turn the key. I can't. And I look up. And not only is Matt struggling with his fish, but the fish jumps out of the water.
No.
And it's a shark.
No.
It's so big that I'm like, oh my God. Matt has that fish. Matt has this largemouth bass right now. He's trying to reel it in. I yell, Matt, move. And I watched his face. He had the fish. He looks back. It's coming right at him. He had to make a calculation, right? He had to make a calculation. What do I do? How do I keep this fish and lose my life? Or do I let go? Do I literally like cut bait or just
But what
toss?
A way to die.
Toss, right? I'm so scared. At the moment the key finally turns, I hear the engine. I start to turn and then I hit the brakes. But right at that moment, Matt decides to give up the fish.
No.
No.
And he lets go of the rod.
No.
And he runs out of the way. And I stop the cart just probably 3 feet from Matt like foot because he dove out of the way. But I stopped it. I stopped the cart. Technically, he didn't have to lose that fish. He could have held on to it. Like, people still talk about that to this day, and I don't think he's ever forgiven me.
Wow.
I don't think he's ever forgiven me. But I saw the fish.
How big was it?
It was huge. It was the size of like a, to me, at that time, looked like an 80-pound dog. The size of an 80-pound dog.
Holy what?
It was so big. And it all made sense.
That pole must have been bending mm-hmm. hard. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And it totally could eat a duck. That fish could eat a duck.
How about
maybe
a cat?
Two.
it could eat a small cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can eat a duck, you can eat a cat.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Because so. A duck has that crunchy bill, though.
It's oh, nice. My God.
Nice mm-hmm. little bit of crunch.
What a story.
I think everybody should chase a golf cart down a hill. I think everyone should have that opportunity.
Did it? I mean, did you guys always save it?
No. Sometimes the edge would go into the pond, and we would just pull it out.
Yeah,
yeah. We only did this when the Fox family wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah. If so they were there,
you never had not. To explain to Mr. Fox.
We never had the golf course. Never had
I hope that explain. Mr. Fox hears this episode.
Yeah, if Mr. Fox is still around.
Wow.
If Mr. Fox is still around.
Did the Fox? Did they have kids?
They did. They were older.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's so great, like, as kids, that you make up these kinds of games.
Yeah.
Like, just to think about, it's just a bunch of people saying yes to something. Mm-hmm. Like, we can, hey, we have access to the old golf cart. There's not really where to drive it, but there's this hill, and there's a pond. And just the concept that you came up with the game is, and I think it does have to do with Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you get the idea of, like, that kind of scenarios repeated over and over again in movies where like something's chasing someone.
That's so true.
And it's like it's in our conscious now to like have something and do something like that. But I love that you just like that's how you entertained yourself. This is before there were cell phones, there was old golf carts.
I'm suddenly remembering that when I was probably about that age, we would play tennis ball. which was basically baseball, but on a tennis court with tennis balls and tennis rackets.
Yeah.
And it was so fun.
Yeah.
You know, you just like three on three, 4 on 4. And then, you know, we were always having so much fun. And then the Mr. Foxes would come to actually play tennis and just would not suffer. They were like off.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not what this is for.
Right. Exactly. Oh, yeah. We had so much fun.
Not as a kid, but more in like in the last decade. Some friends of mine have a ping pong table in their garage and we would play all the time. They are the kind of people who, don't ever want to play for points, which as a former junior tennis player, was hard for me because I want to play for points. I want to win something, but they were like very egalitarian. Let's just, you know, we're never going to play for points. Which I felt weird about. But they did come up with this game called Pan Pong. So they brought like frying pans out from their kitchen.
Oh, okay.
And it is like you cannot be not happy while you're playing Pan Pong because it is the sounds it makes are so ridiculous and you can actually play and the different size pans make different sounds, but you can hardly get through points because you are laughing so hard. So if you're ever feeling down,
okay,
grab some pans. Play some Pan Pong. And I just love, I love that we still do that. Like, at least in people that we know would like totally just play these ridiculous games, you know,
did you consider Ping Pan?
Never. Peter Pan Pong?
Right.
Where we dress up in little Peter Pan costumes and play Pan Pong. I think there's all kinds of versions of it, but I do, I love finding the game in things.
Yeah.
It's like forever an enjoyable experience.
As a non-competitive person, I have like when we're just playing around, whether it be tennis or ping pong, I'm having so much fun. And when the other person's like, all right, let's play for real. I'm always like, okay. Because that's when my play just goes down
changes,
I always lose.
It changes things.
I always lose.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can play to the ability of whoever I'm playing against, but I always lose.
Do you think that's intentional? Like maybe subconscious?
I just like to see. Yeah, I think I'm a naturally. I'd love to see you win, Chris. See, I'd love to have had your friend catch that fish.
I don't like beating people like you at things.
Yeah.
I need you to want to win too.
Yes, that's true.
For me to enjoy the win.
Yeah.
So okay. Like when I beat someone in cribbage,
yeah,
and they're like, great job. I'm like, come on.
Let's never care. Play tennis, Chris.
Yeah. Care. I want to play for points, but do you care? Because if you don't care, the win is no fun.
It's no fun if you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the poker player who's like, aren't we having fun, guys?
sometimes when I played junior tennis, I had a bad attitude. It's probably shocking, I know. But and so if somebody was winning... especially if my mom was watching, this is so bad. It's like family dynamic bad things that are about I'm about to talk about. And I sort of wanted to do everything in opposition of my parents, so I didn't want to please them.
So okay.
If I was playing somebody I was playing well, somebody really good, and my mom was watching, I'd be like, well, now I don't want to win anymore.
Wow.
I know. It really, this did not play well out for me in my life so far. But anyway, so I would just like start calling really out balls in. Okay. And like this just reminded me of it because then they'd be like, wait, why are you calling these balls out or in that are so far out? And it would just, because it would ruin it for them. Because then I wasn't like a formidable opponent anymore. And I would just like shrug. My most constant reaction to things when people would call me out, I would be so. So, like, not even a response to anything, because I can't get into the family. Well, do you know about internal family systems? Because my mom's out there. Like, it wasn't language.
You want to sit for a minute?
Yeah. Do you want to sit for a minute and hear this? But it is like competitiveness in sports are so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, it's time.
Oh.
For Bree's Hot Minutes.
Yes.
Brought to you by Powell's Bookstore Manager Bree Hoag. Bree's been listening intently as she's been fishing for salmon. Bass being more of an East Coast to Midwest fish. And she's got some tasty book recommendations based on themes from Chris's story.
I love books about a group of friends where the story plays out over decades. A newer book in that vein is So Old, So Young by Grant Ginder. It follows a group of friends over 20 years, and each section of the book is centered around a different party or gathering of the group. It has everything. There's romance, comedy, tragedy. It's a book about millennial angst and growing pains. I'm not surprised to see this book on lists of the best books of 2026 so far. Inspired by the idea of friends engaged in shenanigans, my second recommendation is the book Night of the Mannequins by Stephen Graham Jones. In this psychological horror story, a group of friends place a mannequin in a theater to pull a prank, but everything goes sideways and the story goes in a way you wouldn't expect. It's creepy and raw. It's also a novella, so you can burn through it pretty fast and then maybe sleep with the lights on for the next week. That's it for my hot minute. Back to Frayne and Andrew.
Okay.
Those are raw. Ooh,
thanks, Bree.
Thank you, Bree.
Well, hey, Chris, where can folks learn more about you?
I do have a website.
Oh.
It's frontporchsessions.com.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go visit together.
That's the traditional spelling of sessions?
Yes.
Okay, good. There's no like two sevens in it or anything like that. The S's.
No, I'm not that
Z's.
Cool. I'm not that
Z's.
Cool.
The Z's. Before we get to our final question, we just want to thank everyone for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Yeah. And if you would kindly go and subscribe and maybe rate us some stars and comment and do all those fun things, it really helps us grow. And we are growing, so we really appreciate that. We are growing like a bass in a pond.
Oh, right. I see
what you did
there.
Ducks at the ready.
That's right.
All right. Well, hey, Chris, what is something trivial or banal that maybe doesn't bother other people but makes you unhinged, and it can't be the same one as last time? It's our returning guest.
I don't remember the same one.
Well, well, maybe it will be last time.
Trivial.
Yes,
it's something that doesn't, you know, that bothers you and maybe you and a few other people alone.
Oh, there's so many things that kind of, I know what it is. This is so trivial. When someone drives the speed limit, but I gotta explain it. If it's 20 miles an hour and there's no one around and clearly no one around, and you're still going 20, worse, you're going 15, I'm yelling at you. I'm losing it. Like, I'm losing it, and it's not that big a deal. We're still moving. We're still all going to get to where we got to go, but there's something about driving the speed limit that feels like an affront to me. Like, they're doing that on purpose. Like, they know I'm behind them. Yeah. So they're going to slow
trolling
down.
You.
Yeah. I make up stories about so many people.
Right. And you can hear the Indiana Jones music.
Just
daring.
And
so
you
get out of your car and you run alongside of them, get in their car and drive it faster and then run back and get in yours.
That is really good. That is such a great connection.
Next time, just start humming.
I am so impressed with that connection you just made.
Hey, man, I didn't do a lot of improv for nothing, you know?
That's great. Great.
All right. Hey, Chris, you've been an amazing guest. That story was hilarious and so good. And Andrew, as always, an amazing co-host.
Oh, thank you, Frayne.
You're welcome.
VersaVisa.
VersaVisa. And also, we want to thank our fabulous behind-the-scenes editor and producer, Julia Oppenheimer. I'm the executive producer. Myself and Andrew Dixon are the co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Losslander, Matt Sheehy, for creating our theme music. And thank you to Powell's Books and Kiln Co-working Space for making this episode and our live shows possible. We recorded this at X-Ray FM. Find them online or at 91.1 or 107.1. You can find out more info about Andrew, Frayne, and Backfence Storytelling shows and workshops at backfencestorytelling.com. And thank you again for being our listeners. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.